You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. You heard it. Welcome to Confidence on the Go. This is episode number 163. I am your host, Trish, and today we're talking about an abundance mindset. So this is a subject I'm fascinated about. I actually did a podcast episode on it like a year and a half ago, January of 2015. You can check that one out. It is episode number 93. And you guys, just an FYI, you can always go back and access every podcast in the archives by just going to trishblackwell.com/podcasts. And you can pull up the archive list, but also you can just do by show number. So episode 93 is available via show number. So 93, so it'd be trishblackwell.com/93. So if you're jamming on today's content and you want more, I would recommend you go back to that show in addition to this one. So let's just tell you why. I mean, let me tell you what we're going to be talking specifically about abundance mindset. And then we'll dive into the show. So we're going to specifically be addressing how to identify, one, if you have an abundance mindset or a scarcity mindset. I really believe we're on two ends of a spectrum. And I don't really believe we can be in the middle. Like, I think you're one or the other. I think sometimes we're in that neutral ground, but it's a momentary, you know, opportunity to say, which camp of thought are you in? You're either in or you're out. And so that's been challenging to me to think about it that way, because even though I'm extreme in many ways, I think I found myself wavering between both of these worlds in the past, and it's been very detrimental to myself as a result. So I'm trying to be all the time in the abundance camp, but it's a challenge, and it's a prayer of mine. It's my word of the year is abundance. So it definitely is, I think, something that we have to be intentional about. We're also going to be talking about the benefits of an abundance mindset and what it can actually change in your life and how it can change your life. And then I'm going to give you 9 ways to that I think are going to help you exchange any scarcity mindset or fear-based thinking for abundant and freedom thinking. So that's what today's show is going to be all about. Let's get a quick hello to all of my Keep the Faith listeners out there. Thanks for being a part of the, well, this extended community of Contagious Encouragement. And then also, you guys, a sponsorship note. I am so proud to be partnered and sponsored by Beauty Counter. I am a consultant and educator for Beauty Counter, and we are a B Corp company on a mission to get safer products in the hands of everyone. There has not been a law in the United States that has been changed regarding the regulation of the cosmetic or personal care industry since 1938. I mean, in the European Union, there are 1,400 chemicals that are banned to be in personal care products. But of that 1,400 in the United States, we've only banned 11. So we have a problem, and it has to do with our health. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of that movement, because you know, this show, this community, the Be More community is a movement, is all about being more in every way. And I mean that my mind, my body, my spirit, but then also on what am I putting on and around my skin and myself. And the same way I care about what TV I'm putting in front of myself and what kind of influences and people I'm surrounding myself with, I care about what products I'm putting on myself. And that's why I've partnered with Beauty Counter, and I would invite you to join, to do the same and to join the movement. And if you just want to take a look at our products and shop or reach out to me and find out how you can loan your voice to this mission, send me an email. It's trish@trishblackwell.com, or check out my Beauty Counter website. It's beautycounter.com/trishblackwell. Okay, let's talk about why specifically I want to talk about abundance thinking. I mentioned earlier that it actually is my word of the year, because it's something I've struggled with in the past. And I really, when it comes to words of the year and like declaring one theme for yourself, I like to personally pick the theme that I know I need the most, the one that I know I'm just on the cusp of really grasping and understanding, but that I still need that intentional, well, conscious effort and an exchange put towards that. So that was, I mean, really, it's just something that's been at my own heart, but it's just very coincidental that in the last 2 weeks, I have had I would say at least a half a dozen listener requests for a topic of this type. And if there's a half a dozen, I know that means there's about 100 of you out there that have been thinking about meaning to want to maybe think about emailing me, but then you always forget. And so I just know how we work. You know, we have all these great intentions and very, very little follow through. So that for the people that have followed through, everybody else there is out there is thanking you because you've done what they wanted to do. And as a result, it was so helpful because I'm able, when I hear from you guys and this and the movement and the community, I'm able to know what kind of content to deliver, what you're really jamming with and jiving with and what you also want more of. I just think because of the request, because it's my word of the year, and because it's a necessary topic for everyone, I just wanted to dig deeper and to really dedicate an entire podcast episode to the topic. So before we really understand what an abundance mindset is, right? We have to first understand what the opposite of it is. What is a scarcity mindset? And I did some research and also, you know, my own soul searching to really try to put a definition on it. And a scarcity mindset and scarcity mentality is characterized by anxiety and fear. It's that feeling where you wonder if you have enough, or if you're ever going to have enough, or you're afraid maybe that somebody else will take it from you. It's this sort of this like zero sum paradigm of life. I really think that people with a scarcity mentality have a very difficult time in general sharing recognition, credit, profit, power, or just being genuinely happy for the success of others. Now, that's how it expresses itself sometimes. I attribute jealousy to the scarcity mindset, competition to the scarcity mindset. Here's how we boil it down. It is this mindset that there's never enough, or there might not be enough, or I will never be enough, or fear that significance or success is limited. It's anxiety that not everyone can succeed. It's an attitude of competition. It's a belief that life is filled with restrictions and limitations. And I also attribute to this sensation. It's the sensation of it's suspended anxiety that even when everything's going well, like it might not continue like that. It's sort of that feeling. I know you know what I'm talking about when you're like, things are too good. Like life can't be good. Like something's got to give. Like, when's that other shoe gonna fall, so to speak, right? Like, we're just sort of in this uncertain state of suspense. And that, to me, is scarcity mindset. So, in contrast, what is an abundance mindset? Well, it's a mindset it is the mindset of a happy and joyful and peace-filled person. It is also a mindset that is available to everyone, and there's no limit or prerequisite on this type of thinking. Like, that is so key to me. This is not reserved for the elite. This has nothing to do with your socioeconomic status or your education level or who raised you or where you've come from and what brought you to the point you're at now. The point is that an abundant mindset is available to everyone now. So it's a type of thinking that you can prescribe to. And I really think it's how champions, superstars, achievers, and like, let's face it, just happy people who are living out their life and their calling really think about life and how they approach it. It's also based on the belief that there's more than enough of everything to go around for everyone. And if I were to really simplify it, I think it's faith in action. Like coming from the faith perspective of Christianity, if I really profess to be a believer and I have 100% trust in God and know in his greatness and goodness and abundance, then I can't not believe in this mentality of thinking that by me stepping out and saying, my God will provide, like that I am well cared for, well loved, and that that will continue. That really frees me up to have faith to just walk that out. So in other words, it really is this mentality that flows out of a deep inner sense of personal worth and security. It's the paradigm that there's plenty out there and enough for everyone, that that we can share in our resources and our creativities and and just significance, that someone else doing something great doesn't mean that you can't do something else great as well, that there's no need to compare and feel less than because of someone else, that someone else's Well, their example or their greatness or the way that they shine should inspire us and call us to rise ourselves up to that level as well, versus make us feel you know, threatened or less than. So I really think that if you look at a mentality of enough versus not enough, or rising up versus less than, that kind of separates. You can help figure out in your own mind, are you prescribing to scarcity thinking or to abundance? I wanted to share a quote I found from William James, and he said that the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitudes of mind. Y'all, you can alter your life by altering the attitudes of your mind. So as you're listening today, if you feel like maybe you're somebody that's always been stuck in this scarcity mindset, even if you've maybe you haven't labeled it like that, but you're overwhelmed with fear and uncertainty and anxiety, you can alter that state and your experience by altering how you choose to have your attitude. I really want you to hear me clearly when I say I was a lost cause. Like I was such an overthinker. I was so emotional. I didn't think I could ever have mastery over my own thoughts. And I still, obviously, it's still a daily discipline. And some days I do really well, and some days are a struggle and they're a challenge. And those are the days in which I grow the most. But if you look back, gosh, even 8 years ago, I would have never thought that I could. I knew that you could change your brain and change your thoughts, but I didn't really quite understand even the science backing to the elasticity and the plasticity that is in our mind and in the wirings of our brain, that there is, if I am going to be intentional, that I can win the battlefield that goes on in my mind, and that the control over our thoughts is perhaps the greatest gift that God has ever given us. And so I want to share that to encourage you to say, like, listen, if I can break through and alter my life by altering my thinking, I want you to hear that you can too. And one reason I struggled in the past to have an abundance mindset is really for a couple of reasons. One is a blue-collar upbringing. I mean, I have a lot of memories of my dad worked a lot, y'all, like a lot. We lived about, well, we're in the, you know, Virginia, D.C. area, and my dad would work sometimes in D.C. proper, but sometimes Baltimore, and we lived kind of in the country of Virginia. So we were as the crow flies, we're really close to D.C., but as the car drives on 95, it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And so most of my childhood, my dad woke up and usually 3:30 in the morning, and he left the house at 4, and he would drive and he would go work a 12-hour day. He was a union pipe fitter and plumber, and he you know, my family needed, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, she homeschooled us, and she used to be a nurse, but she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so as a result, my dad worked typically 6 days a week, 12 to 14 hour days, plus the commute. So as you can, if you can imagine and do the math on that, he was gone usually from 4 a.m. till usually 7:30 or 8 p.m. And then also on Saturdays. So it was a sacrifice. And then being in the union and being in construction, there were times when work was not available. I can very, very closely, vividly remember, you know, when my dad got laid off and what it's like to be on, I forget what it's called, some sort of small subsidiary from the union, but it wasn't enough to pay our bills or have food on the table. So there was a lot of fear of, all right, dad's got to put in as much overtime so that we will have enough. And the fear that, what if there's not a new project? What if dad doesn't get the job for the next project? And there were times when, my parents, you know, and to be honest with you, they probably were overreacting a little bit because they were scarcity mindset raised. But hey, I'm not sure how we're going to put, I don't know how we're going to afford groceries this week. Like, let's try to be mindful about what we're eating. So that was something that was brought up into. And then because of that, and because of how my parents were raised, I in particular have a mom whom I adore. As you know, you've heard me talk about her. But she has had a lot of fear about limitations and bills and food and, you know, and being able to afford everything. And, you know, she's just a very practical, realistic minded person. And so she transferred some of that onto to me by almost being overprepared. So there's this fear that there's not going to be enough, or the what if scenarios really were reinforced in, you know, in our lives, and we've got to be prepared for everything, because what if that shoe drops? What if we can't, you know? And so it caused me to really rise up in my faith to go, no, God will provide. I believe that we're safe and we're secure and that there's more than enough. And then so let's then flip it on a society level. Being a young athlete, being a competitive athlete, I put self-imposed pressure on myself to be the best. I mean, if you think about it, in competition, especially high-level competition, there's only room for one person to be the best. So in short, I actually lived with this theory that there was only room in the world for one special person, and I was desperate for that person to be me. And when I stopped winning, and when I didn't make the Olympics, and when I had my athletic plateaus, everything about what I thought about life was crumbled. You know, the scarcity mindset was programmed into me because it's a scarce thing to be able to be the national champion or the world champion or number one or the best or the prettiest or the most successful, or y'all, you fill in your own blank, because we've all done this. Of whatever that marker is that we've said, this will give me significance. This is going to make other people be impressed with me because this makes me stand out and be special. That is a scarcity mindset. And I didn't realize it was that until recently, that the difference between scarcity in the pursuit of success, in the pursuit of significance, when you are after your own glory for your own benefit, to prove yourself or to prove your worth or to be better than other people, then it's coming from a place of fear and therefore scarcity. When you're pursuing your calling and success and significance to honor the gifts that you've been given, to serve others, to make a difference in the world that's positive, to give back more because you've been given so much. That, my friends, that's abundance. So it's funny how small shifts in thinking can change everything. You know, and then let's just be honest. Another reason I struggled with abundance mindset, and maybe you do too, is that society and, you know, our capitalism and competition have been taught to us. Like, it's ingrained in us that there's never enough to go around, that it's And I want to just state for the record that that's not a concrete fact. It's just a product of an economic system that feeds off itself. So, you know, the first thing that got me really changing was when I got into the fitness industry, and I didn't know how to sell a thing, and I was terrified of sales. But in personal training, you have to know how to sell. You've got to learn how to do it. Otherwise, you can be the best personal trainer in the world and you can love people and have the greatest desire, but if you can't convince them that they need to spend money for an hour with you, you ain't got a business. You're never going to be able to help somebody get to where they want to be. So I had to learn to overcome that. And so I had actually gotten into personal training after coming back from living in France, and I was living with my parents, and I, you know, having gone to boarding school at age 14, there I was at 24 living at home again. Like, that was mortifying. I was a cool kid. I moved out at 14. I did my own thing. I was independent. I traveled the world. Yeah, and then I spent too much money and owed my parents a bunch and had to move back. And so you better believe I needed to prove to them that I could one, pay them back, that two, I could be successful, and that you know, I was just motivated. I was motivated to be able to be independent. And so out of pure necessity, I started changing my thoughts without realizing what I was doing. And so here's what happened is I had a boss who, he was teaching me sales, he said, listen, Trish, the minute you need someone more than they need you, you're desperate, you're salesy, you're pushy. I want you to know that there are more than enough people out here for you to help as a personal trainer. And you guys got to remember, brand new personal trainer, not a lot of confidence at this point, didn't know if I knew what I was even doing or if I was fit enough to be a trainer. I mean, there were a lot of things going on here, right? So he's here sitting, and you got to imagine me, you know, 10 years ago, not having spent much time at all on personal development. So he said, like, here's the thing. I need you to fake it till you make it. And if you really want to love people and help people, you've got to realize there are hundreds of people out there in this one town that need your help. And so when one person says no to you, when you tell them your honest professional recommendation for them and you present your prices, you have to do it from a mindset of abundance. You can't think about your own wallet. You think about, it doesn't even matter. The money doesn't matter. But if you make the money matter, it's going to make a difference. It's going to get in your way. You need to realize there are so many people out there who are waiting to be helped and waiting to be loved, and that you're going to be that person, that you're going to be that personal trainer for them, that you focus on the abundance. So when that person says no to you, when they say, I can't afford personal training right now, when they say, I don't think I want to personal train, when they say no for whatever reason, you just say, okay, well, let me know. You know, I'm here. I'll answer any questions. And I'm excited to see you make progress on your journey. And then you move on, Trish. You move on, because that one person's no has nothing to do with you. It's not that there's, oh my gosh, now there's one less person I could quote unquote sell to. It's just that every no that you get is one no closer to the yes that you need, right? So I learned at that point to start realizing that no's were, and this rejection, which typically I would have been, you know, crumbled over. Those are good things. Those get me to that yes. That get me to that level of abundance. That the mindset of fear and scarcity, it cannot be what drives you. And so sales was such an interesting way for me to learn, one, about this mindset. And I started playing games with my wording with people and my attitude towards the consultation. And, you know, if you're out there in sales and this can help you, I hope this does. But, you know, it's really amazing when you just sit down to love and serve someone and you don't need them, and you realize if it's a service that you're offering them, right, that they need you more than you need them. And it's fine if they walk away because there's a million more of them that you can help. That it's not about your paycheck. It's not about that money that they're giving you, but rather about your ability to love and serve them. Then you're not going to get tied down into and bound by the limitations of a scarcity mindset. And I'll tell you what happened. You know, small training stories. In that 1 year, after I started applying this like abundance mindset, knowing, Trish, like, you're just going to get in front of us, and then it becomes a numbers game. You're just going to get in front of as many people as you can and just love and serve and train them. And they may say no, and that's fine, because somebody else is going to say yes. And you just keep going, because there are people out there who are waiting to be helped, and they're waiting for you. So in that 1 year, I went from being a trainer who didn't know how to sell a thing to being the number one trainer in my company, to be breaking sales records, to getting, you know, transferred to different states, to open new gyms, to getting, setting a city record. In short, let's just say, to becoming somebody who, just by being myself and just embracing the no's and saying great to the yeses and just having that abundance mindset of, there are so many people out there I can help, and rather than feel rejected by the couple people who say no, I'm just going to focus on how many people I can help. I really became someone who could sell snow to an Eskimo. Like it was so freeing. It's so confident, and it was so wonderful, because then it changed the trajectory of my entire course in my entire career in fitness. And then, you know, took those skills and went on to train hundreds of trainers on how to sell confidently, and created multi-million-dollar training teams based on that same principle of, like, guys, let's just love and serve and serve with an abundance mindset. So for me, that was the biggest breakthrough. And for me, since that point, so I know how to do abundance in my business. And so in the past couple of years, most recently, the last 2 years, it's, how do I transfer that into other areas of the life? It started getting me questioning, how do I start? Where am I being abundant in my thinking, and where am I being scarce and fear-based? And so as I think about that, and as you think about that for yourself as well, I challenge you to, I came up with 9 reasons why an abundance mindset can really leverage your life to the next level. And even if you just take it from a business standpoint, maybe you're a network marketer, maybe you're a personal trainer, maybe you're an entrepreneur and launching your own business as well, wherever this finds you, or just a salesperson of any type. I mean, this applies to anyone. The benefits are just incredible, but then also the personal benefits of an abundance mindset give us so much peace that it's unreal. And it's so, it's something that I'm so thankful to have, to be in the process of learning, to experience, that I can't emphasize it enough how much I want to share that with you. So here are the benefits I think that abundance mindset gives us. Number one, it allows us to fail without fear. And it helps us remember, like, a rejection, a failure, a setback, that's fine. It's just a numbers game of, how many steps can I keep taking forward? You know, I might take a couple backwards, but I just keep taking another one forward. It also keeps us focused and encouraged in the pursuit of our goals, actually allowing us to actually attain them. So, like, when we're following a scarcity mindset, there's this fear of like, I'm not quite good enough because it's so hard to get to where I want to go because so few people do it that I don't know if I can. Whereas an abundance mindset says there's more than enough. There's an abundant need for me to get to where I want to go so that I can serve and love those other people in that capacity. So it actually just, it doesn't even help us realize that our goals are attainable, but it actually drives us to attain them. I think it's important to remember just how many people there are in the world. There's almost 7 billion people in the world, because there's more than enough people for your business. There's more than enough people if you're dating, if you're discouraged in your dating life right now. There's plenty of fish in the sea. And there's more than enough people if you have a calling on your heart to serve people or to love them in a unique way, that because there's people out there that need you. And that, I think that's really empowering to remember. Number 3, a third benefit I came up with, is it really frees us from fear and it lightens our natural stress level. That helps me a lot, because I've often stressed about the future, and this frees me from that. The fourth benefit is that it opens us up to real freedom in how we live, think, and experience life. It also improves our natural state of hope. It's this sort of this natural optimism that gets ingrained in us, and it increases our self-esteem and our understanding of our value. Number 7, it sharpens our problem-solving skills. Because if you think about it, if you come and approach a problem and you come from a fear-based or limited mindset, it can almost be like a mind block. Like you can have a similar to writer's block. You just get blocked. But when you approach something with an open, abundant, unlimited mind, you start thinking outside of the box. Your problem solving becomes way more creative than you could have ever imagined it could be. Another benefit is it permits us to become masters at stress management. Because let's be honest, stress happens. Like, it's part of life. And a lot of times it's linked to fear and anxiety and fear of not being enough or not having enough or the what if blank happens, all scarcity mindset things. So if you can identify those as scarcity mindsets and say, listen, this is how my inner dialogue goes, Trish, you said you're not going to be somebody that's prescribing and signing up for. Like, yes, I'm not signing up for scarcity thinking, so why am I doing it? And so I can actually remove myself mid-thought and go, no. I know I'm feeling drawn towards the scarcity thinking, but no, that's not me. I'm signing up for abundance. And then you shift, and it's hard, but it's worth that shift, I promise you. And then the last benefit I wanted to highlight for y'all is that it really, really transforms our ability to be authentically positive. Like, there's this whole positive psychology movement, right? And we all talk about being optimistic and positive, but I'm really interested in how to do that. And how to do it authentically, how to do it congruently. And I really believe if you in your mind believe in this abundance mindset versus a scarcity one, link abundance with love, if you are choosing a mindset of truth, a mindset of optimism, then you are going to be authentically positive. It's not just going to be a bunch of lip service. And then that really transforms you, and it transforms the people around you. I mean, it's amazing. It's really contagious. So let me give you, we have the 9 benefits. I've got 9 ways that I think you can really create and nurture an abundance mindset in your life. So these are my practical how-tos for you, and I hope that they help. Number 1, focus on abundance, not on lack. So when you find yourself in need or you find yourself wishing you had more, focus on what you do have. And that's obviously the benefit of a gratitude journal. But sometimes it's worthy to sit down and just think about that. And I'm going to give you a really silly example. I love Lululemon. I love their clothes. But I have a good friend of mine who her entire closet is that. I actually asked her, I said, how much do you spend on Lululemon a year? She budgets $7,500 for it a year. So that's not a priority in my budget. I wish it was. It's just not right now. So I can sometimes feel myself being jealous of all the Lululemon clothes that she has, because they're all so cute. And then I have to sit down and go, Trish, like, you feel lacking in comparison to her. You have a dozen two dozen items from Lululemon, and I will actually mentally catalog them, and it's so funny. All of a sudden, I don't feel so much lack. All of a sudden, I feel actually quite rich and wealthy, and it's such, this is a funny example for something so materialistic, but I just wanted to give you guys something tangible that you can think about, because I know we all get caught in these. We feel lacking in one area because we're comparing ourselves to somebody else. So what do you do? How do you catch that lack and say, I'm not going to focus on that lack. I'm going to focus on my abundance and all my blessings. Number two is to choose to see opportunity. I want you to create an abundance mindset by choosing to see the opportunity that you have surrounding you, that every day is an opportunity to learn more. Every day is an opportunity to reach out and touch more people and connect with more people. Every day is an opportunity to hustle, whatever that hustle might be, your side hustle, your main hustle, your own personal hustle and in your personal development. But choose to see the opportunity. Choose to see, even if you're struggling with a scarcity mindset or fear, choose to see that as an opportunity, as to say, I'm going to start intentionally changing my thought life. And I'm so thankful that I can clearly identify an area that I need it, right? Like, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have something you want to work on. The third way to really create and nurture this mindset is to remind yourself that there is more than enough. And if you are a Christian or someone of faith that really believes that there's a God here out there who loves you deeply and who provides for you and clothes the flowers of the fields and the birds of the air, how much more are you going to be taken care of? There's more than enough. And if you're in sales, remind yourself there are more than enough people out there that you can sell to, right? Because nobody wants to be sold to, but people want to buy. There are more than enough people that want to buy from you. There are going to be more than enough people that can be your customers, your clients. You've got to remember that there are more than enough. There are 7 billion people out there, y'all, almost, right? It's a lot of people. Can you remind yourself of that? Number four, spend less time with complainers. I think this is huge. And recognize, I think it's also really important to recognize the complainers in your life. So remind yourself, like, identify who they are, limit your time with them, and then remind yourself that you're not like them because you choose not to be, because you're being intentional about your thinking. Because let's be honest, it's easy to complain. Complaining is the lazy man's go-to. So take pride in the fact that you're not like that, or that you're striving to not become like that. Fifth way, get out of the tunnel vision and look at the big picture. Sometimes it's so helpful. We get so stuck into that. I have to do this and I'm not sure how to do it. And it just seems like there's not going to be enough. And what if this doesn't happen and this person doesn't say this and that all, everything's so pressure oriented. It's so like, well, it's so like dramatic, right? It's like, oh, it's do or die. Like, this has to happen this way. It doesn't. There are so many ways something can unfold, a day, a dream, a career, your relationship. There's just sometimes it's so helpful to zoom ourselves out of where we are close up and look at the big picture and say, listen, I don't have control of everything. Because that's what's frustrating, when the moving parts don't have anything to do with us and we don't feel like we have control. You got to zoom out and realize that there is somebody else that has control over that. That is God. And that should give you freedom. Like, you're not in control. So just chill, right? Believe that that big picture is taken care of. Number six, I think it's so important to surround ourselves with success stories, because they are literal proof of abundance. And I mean success stories, like the ones I've shared with you. That's proof that there's abundance in the world, or a success of somebody having some weight loss. That is abundance, and saying that people can achieve their goals. Or maybe you're an entrepreneur and you're watching someone develop their business. There, you see their abundance, you see their blessing, you see an abundance. I want to be clear, it's not always a monetary thing or a success-based thing, but it's a freedom thing, it's a lifestyle thing. But watch others who are succeeding, and success leaves clues. I think that's encouraging. Number seven, I love this. I love that teaching abundance to others will help you teach it to yourself. You better believe I feel really good about this mindset right now, because I just spent 3 hours working on this podcast outline and preparing for the episode, and then an hour recording it. You guys, we learn in, so we learn and then we teach. And then when we teach, we master what we teach. So teaching abundance to others is one of the best ways for you to get there yourself. I've got a quote to share with you. It's an anonymous quote. It's the first time I came across it. I'd heard it. It's vaguely familiar, but so powerful. Here it is. When you help another person get to the top of a mountain, you will arrive there also. When you help another person get to the top of a mountain, you will arrive there also. We've got the last two ways to really create and nurture an abundance mindset. Number 8, take responsibility. You guys, recognize your choices and realize that every situation, you always get to choose how you think about that situation. I don't care what that situation is, but it's your responsibility to choose how you want that situation to be. Number 9, give away what you want more of. I love this. I love this. This is maybe my favorite one. Give away what you want more of, because that is going to make you feel like you truly have abundance. Because here's the thing. The single most effective tactic to foster this abundance mentality is to give someone else that which you want more of. So anything you give away is something that you must have had in the first place, right? So when you give it away, you experience that you have it actually to give. So it's almost like it's this backwards rationalization. Your mind is thinking, I wouldn't give this away if I didn't already have more than enough. And since I did give it away, I must have more than enough of it. And you can take that in financial terms. So giving it to a charity, you actually realize that you have way more than you think you do. If you're lacking compassion, you give compassion, you realize how much more compassion you have, or patience or love. I mean, it's truly this amazing backwards rationalization that makes the world of a difference. So I love that one. And then I also wanted to remind you guys that as we close out this concept, it seems like this, like, gosh, how can I become this abundant thinker? I want you to know that that we have it ingrained in us. I think it's natural to us in some ways. Like we're fear is also natural, but we are naturally inclined to abundance thinking in some terms. And if you think about oxygen, we consume 550 liters of pure oxygen per day. So, and on top of that, if you happen to exercise, that number is going to be even higher. So here's the thing, that's not you. Every single other person on the planet is consuming their 550 liters of oxygen. So let's times that by our 6 billion to 7 billion people that are about to be on the planet. Why aren't we having emergency oxygen funds? Why aren't you worried about the amount of oxygen that your friend is taking up? Because there's plenty of air for everyone, and we don't have to be concerned with competing over oxygen. And so when I take a breath, I'm in no way denying you of any oxygen. I can have as much as I want, and you can have as much as you want. So it's this amazing reminder that there's enough. And if you know how to not be jealous or concerned about somebody else's oxygen consumption, then you have the capability within you to have an abundance mindset in every other area of your life as well. So guys, that's it for today's show. Let's do some quick announcements. You heard me say it before, but if you love me and you love the show, you will, one, have bought a copy of the book, right? Of my newest book, Insecurity Detox. It's a handbook to read chapter by chapter. And I know it's going to infuse you with confidence and joy and just peace. Like it's, if you love this show, you're going to love the book. I'm telling you. So if you love me and you love the show, you're going to love the book. So I hope you've bought it. If you haven't, just go to Amazon or go to insecuritydetox.com. And then if you've bought the book, but you haven't yet written a review on Amazon, I implore you and please consider doing that. It's the greatest gift back you can give to me for anything. If I've ever said anything that's been significant or encouraging to you in your life. So, also, to increase your own practice of abundance in your thoughts, I would invite you to allow me to be your coach for my 7-day online Emerge experience. It's a virtual program in which I help you train your brain and that we work on intentional living so that you can really start emerging into the person you were created to be and the person that the world is waiting for. Because there is more than enough need for you to be the best you. The world needs you and it needs your love. And so I just beg of you, start taking your presence in this world seriously and start emerging. You can enroll in Emerge for yourself at trishblackwell.com/emerge. And our listener of the episode is Celeste DeMilla. I love the name Celeste. That's not why I picked you, but you have a great story, so girl, I had to share it. So here's what Celeste said. I discovered your podcast while I was sick with bronchitis and binge listened to the vast majority of episodes while I was hacking away. You have been an inspiration to me. I am a psychotherapist who went down another career path for a few years, and now I'm getting ready to start seeing clients again, but I've been plagued with doubt. What if I get stuck? What if I can't really help anyone? Thankfully, your podcast provided the boost of confidence I needed. Podcast number 116, You Have Power, was especially inspirational to me. What also helped me was your honesty about your past and current struggles. This reminded me that I don't have to be perfect to make a difference in another person's life. And because I love your podcast so much, I decided to check out your blog, and I love this too. I wasn't planning on writing a comment like this here, but it just felt like I had to express my gratitude somewhere. I'll follow this up by writing a review on iTunes. Thank you for all you do, Chica. You are making a difference. So now that you guys have heard what Celeste said, I'm going to tell you why she got picked to be listener of the episode. One, I love when you guys tell me what your favorite episodes are. So you guys, Celeste's favorite episode, number 116, if you're looking for something to listen to, You Have Power, number 116, it's awesome. So thank you for that. Two, I love hearing how you guys kind of stumble upon the show and end up binge listening to episode after episode. That is so awesome. It's so cool. And yeah, it's just a reminder to share with friends and family who you might think would want to binge listen and be inspired as well. And then, girl, you put a comment, you love the blog, you commented on the blog, and you wrote a review on iTunes. That's just amazing and beautiful. And I just really want to highlight how much truth you laid out when you said, I don't have to be perfect to serve and love others and make a difference in their lives in a significant way. As Celeste said, I'm proof in the pudding that you do not have to be perfect to start helping love others and help them love others more. Like, because it's time that we stop waiting and lying to ourselves about this need to be perfect. Perfectionism is, I think, the 21st century's greatest lie. And let's not get caught into it. You do not have to be perfect to be able to make a difference, to make a significant difference in others' lives. So if that encourages you, I hope that you rise up and follow that dream. There's something in your heart that needs to get out and you need to start pursuing. I know it. So I hope that you step up and rise to the occasion and do that. So yes, if you are looking for more inspiration, check out my blog. I've got a ton of encouraging articles on there. Make sure you're on my email list as well. You can hop on that at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. Also, make sure you're on Facebook with me, Trish Blackwell Fitness. So I love y'all. Thank you for being part of this movement of being more, right? And that's it. And if every day you can just do that a little bit, I say to you, bravo, that we are moving the world together. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.